So we're going to start out this morning with State versus Taylor. Parties ready?
I am, Your Honor.
All right. Please proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Oliver Davis. I represent Ms. Taylor. May I reserve 2 minutes of my time, Your Honor? This is Ms. Taylor's appeal from two convictions for possession of a controlled substance that were found in her truck. The issues we've raised have the ultimate object of arguing that the trial court erred in denying her motion to suppress the evidence that was located when a search warrant was executed on her truck 5 days after she was arrested. And the first argument, of course, is that she was subjected to a Terry stop, to a detention, without reasonable suspicion. It's certainly true that police officers are entitled and must be entitled to amble up to a pedestrian in the public square and engage that person in conversation, including walking up to the driver of a car that has stopped, as in this case, and engaging the driver in conversation. However, if the totality of the circumstances, including the language that the officer has used, would indicate to a reasonable person they are not free to leave, not free to simply walk away from that encounter, or here in this case, free to put their foot on the accelerator and drive away from the officer, that person has been subjected to a detention or a seizure, and a certain level of articulable suspicion is required to justify that detention. Now here, Ms. Taylor pulled over to the side of the road, and what she told the officer in our case was that she believed another officer who was pulling over another car was also pulling her over. So she pulled to the side of the road in her truck. The officer in our case came to the scene, pulled his squad car up behind Ms. Taylor's truck.
Excuse me, just about the facts. Did she pull over ahead of the already parked car or behind it, or do we know?
You know, it's not clear from the very short 3-6 hearing. I believe it was in front of that vehicle. We do know that it was the squad car and Ms. Taylor's truck were about 75 feet from the stopped vehicle and the first patrol car. I can say that much.
Okay.
And
the squad car in question, forget his name.
Deputy Ducifor.
He was behind Ms. Taylor's.
She pulled up and stopped directly behind the truck.
Their vehicles was either in front of or behind, and we don't know which.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Now, he activated his rear strobe lights. I'm not entirely sure that the nature of the lights or their location is a big factor in the question whether she was detained. But he activated his rear strobe lights, and this was at night. He approached the driver's side of the car and began engaging Ms. Taylor in conversation.
Now, one of your issues is the strobe light, correct?
One of the issues, my argument is that the totality of the circumstances test indicates that a reasonable person in Ms. Taylor's shoes would not have felt free to leave.
We know that if it's the emergency lights, that is a seizure. But in this case, the state is arguing that the nature of the lights was such that it was necessary for illumination, which seems very reasonable. You don't want these conversations occurring in the dark. So what does that really add?
So he indicates actually in the 3-6 hearing that he activated his rear strobe lights as a matter of traffic safety for other vehicles on the road, I believe.
Right.
Now, so there was a series of flashing lights. I'm not arguing.
And strobe means a flashing light, I suppose. I
think that does mean a flashing light. I'm not sure what the driver would be able to, whether a driver would be able to discern between the purpose of lights that are flashing.
Is it flashing red and white or just white?
I don't know. And again, it's a totality of the circumstances test. The lights are important but not critical. What is important is that the trooper engaged Ms. Taylor in conversation and did something more than ask, "What are you doing?" He did something more than ask, "May I have your name?" That's permissible for a police officer to do. In this case, and what distinguishes our case from O'Neill, from Moat, and from Smith, cited by the respondent, and makes our case alike Soto Garcia, is the fact that Trooper Ducifor challenged Ms. Taylor to indicate whether she was breaking the law or whether she was following the law. He said to her, I initiated conversation. I asked her if she was clear, as in, are you valid to drive a vehicle? That's something that didn't happen in any of these cases that the respondent has cited. The trooper specifically challenged her about whether she was validly driving that car, and we know she had driven it because she pulled to the side of the road.
There's no dispute about what that term means, right? I mean, everybody agrees that he said and she understood that he was asking her whether she had a valid driver's license.
Indeed, and she submitted to that authority. She submitted to his challenge that she proved she wasn't breaking the law by handing over her driver's license. And Deputy Du Savoir stood there and ran her driver's license information for warrants and found out that she did indeed have a warrant and arrested her, and the facts proceed from there. But the point at which Deputy Du Savoir challenged her to prove that she was not breaking the law, she was seized, because a reasonable person in her shoes would not feel free to put her foot on the accelerator and drive out of that gravel side pull-in and leave Trooper Du Savoir and his squad car and his flashing lights, whatever sort they might have been, and her driver's license card in her rearview mirror. A reasonable person would not feel free to end the encounter in that manner. Now, the state, of course, has the requirement of proving the existence of reasonable suspicion if there has been a Terry detention. The state twice disavowed any effort to prove that there was reasonable suspicion, relied on the argument that this was simply a social contact, and our argument is that it was not. The court's oral ruling essentially indicates that its reasoning was, well, she had stopped her car voluntarily, therefore this wasn't a Terry stop. The eventual written findings that the court entered were a little bit more detailed than that. The court essentially found that a reasonable person would feel free to leave. And the trooper did say, well, I was just engaging her in conversation when I said that. But the language that was used is more important here than the tone of what the officer was saying. He challenged Ms. Taylor to prove that she wasn't breaking the law. And so this case is like Soto Garcia, where an officer was driving, he saw an individual, and that individual walked over to the squad car. The officer said, what are you doing in this area? He actually asked that person for his name and began running the information for warrants, but then said to that individual, Mr. Soto Garcia, do you have any cocaine on your person? So in that instance, in which was deemed to be a Terry detention requiring reasonable suspicion, the officer was held to have seized Mr. Soto Garcia because he challenged whether he was breaking the law, something more than just asking, what are you doing, who are you? So the fruits of everything that followed should have been suppressed.
And so that's your main concern, really, is that question?
Yes. Now, the dog sniff question is very interesting. We would argue that one doesn't reach it. Thank you.
May it please the court, Seth Vine, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for Snohomish County, representing the respondent of the state of Washington. Counsel in his argument today has focused on just one of basically four issues, although one of the four issues is uncontested at this point. At any rate, I will do the same and focus the question on whether the officer's contact with Ms. Taylor constituted a seizure. And although the state would have the burden of justifying the seizure if it occurred, it is the burden of the defendant to establish that a seizure occurred in the first place. First of all, to answer a question that Your Honor raised, the defendant's car was in front of the other car that was stopped. I had that page a moment ago. That's at the bottom of page 5 of the suppression hearing, where Officer Du Savoir testified. I contacted that second vehicle. It was a pickup truck that was parked ahead of the traffic stop. So it is conceded that an officer is permitted to approach a parked car on foot and ask questions of the driver. And the state Supreme Court has said that a driver in a parked car is treated identically with a pedestrian for purposes of this analysis. So the key point seems to be that this was transformed into a seizure when the officer asked a question about possible illegal activity that on the part of Ms. Taylor. I won't even say possible criminal activity, since a person can not person who is not properly licensed to drive may be guilty of a traffic infraction rather than a crime. The suggestion seems to be that if you approach somebody voluntarily and you ask them about criminal activity that you may have that they may have committed, that's a seizure. And
well, if they were driving with license suspended, I suppose that would be a crime.
If her license was suspended, as it turned out to be, that would be a crime. But the question as to whether she was clear, which is, you know, it's a pretty vague question, could involve an infraction or a crime, depending on what the circumstances were. And, of course, it could involve no illegal activity at all if she had a properly issued license. As I say, it's a vague.
Is that what was wrong? She had a suspended license. Is that what he found out when he
did the
warrant check?
I believe that. Yes, I believe that's correct. Wait a minute. No, he found out a warrant. No, I'll take that back. No, I don't believe we got any information about her driving. Although ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know,
the outcome of the seizure, if it be a seizure, doesn't affect it. And if it's not a seizure at the initiation, the fact that it discovers facts justifying a seizure, as it did, doesn't matter. We've got to look at what happened up front,
right,
and not what the result is. You know, the state Supreme Court said in O'Neill that officers are expected to be proactive and investigate crime, and the mere fact that they are investigating crime does not make their conduct improper or transform it into a seizure. Now, the argument is that the Soto Garcia case stands for this proposition, but in Soto Garcia, the officer went further and asked for permission to search. Now, that is a distinguishing factor. The court said that in asking for permission to search somebody, you know, permission to search their bodies, is not something consistent with a seizure. And if you look back at one of
the... So in Soto Garcia, if all the officer had done was say, are you carrying cocaine, would that be okay and not a seizure?
I know that's a little more pointed question than was asked here, but I would say yes, given that the court has acknowledged the legitimacy of officers investigating crime without necessarily having to have a reasonable suspicion to do so. And if you look back at the test which gives this, you know, this idea its name, you know, we call this a social contact, and the reason that phrase is used, and it's kind of an awkward and not very descriptive phrase, but the reason that phrase came into use is because one of the tests that has been used to identify a social contact is this kind of conduct something that would be considered legitimate in ordinary social intercourse? That is, you know, I or anybody can walk up to a person on the street and ask them questions. A police officer can do the same. The fact that people are more likely to answer questions of a police officer, and the police officer may ask about subjects that typically people wouldn't answer if I asked them about, doesn't matter. Approaching someone on the street in a car and asking them questions is a legitimate part of social intercourse, and therefore we don't brand it as an improper seizure. And now imagine what somebody's response would be if I approached someone on the street and said, do you mind if I run my hands all over your body? That would not be something permissible in the course of normal social contact. And therefore, if the police do that, we look on that as an exercise of coercive authority. But ultimately, the question is, has the officer done something? Has he used force or authority to communicate to the person, you may not leave, you must remain here until you answer my questions?
So would you say then that O'Neill is the leading case here that we would follow if we were to endorse your position? Or is there anything closer?
Well, I believe that the closest case is State v. Moat. However, that does have the distinction, you know, in Moat, I would say, is basically identical. It's approaching a parked car on foot. It's asking questions of the driver. The car is illuminated, in that case, with a spotlight. So the difference is that there the officer asked for identification, and here the question was, are you clear? And the question seems to have been taken in basically the same way. That is, the response in both cases was to produce a driver's license. You know. So with regard to the general factual situation, the closest case is Moat. With regard to the proposition that asking somebody about possible criminal activity does not of itself constitute a seizure, then, you know, that line, you know, factually O'Neill is not overall similar, but that proposition appears in O'Neill. And, you know, the distinguishing fact in Soto Garcia is the request to search. The court specifically said that a request to search someone is indicative of a seizure. Well, that's a clear line that officers are not allowed to cross without reasonable suspicion. Right?
Well, now, in this case, she was not a pedestrian. It was known, obvious to the driver, I mean to the officer, that she had been driving the car.
Correct.
So he asked her, in effect, he asked her a question that could be, that basically was received as, and sounds a lot like, can I please see your driver's license?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's not something you would ask a pedestrian. I guess a pedestrian, you might say, do you have any identification? Is that something that's okay for an officer to do without seizing?
Yeah, yes, clearly a request for identification. And I think it's clear under, you know, the case law, including Moat, that if the officer's question had been, may I see your driver's license, there would not be
no
a
problem.
Seizure here. So, I mean, I guess ultimately the question comes down to, you know, does it make a critical difference that the question was conveyed in a way that overtly justified a suspicion that, you know, that the person might not be legitimately licensed? And I think when an officer asks to see your driver's license, I think it's fairly clear that one of the things he hopes to ascertain is, well, number one, who are you? But number two, you know, do you have a license, and is it a valid license? So as a practical effect, the difference between those two questions is not very great and should not be the basis for drawing such a critical distinction as the defense has urged here. So the court should determine that there was no seizure, and for the reasons discussed in my brief, everyone I think that went on from that is fine. We have conceded that the conviction of for two counts of possession of controlled substance under these facts is not consistent with case law, so that the one of the convictions should be overturned and the case remanded for resentencing on one count.
The respondent has stated that in Soto Garcia, the court found that a seizure only occurred when the officer asked to and did search Mr. Soto Garcia after previously asking him, do you have cocaine on your person? That was the attempted argument that the state made in Soto Garcia. The state contends that no seizure took place until after the consensual search. The court rejected that argument and said that the officer remained curious and he asked Soto Garcia if he had any cocaine on his person. Are you breaking the law? We agree with the trial judge that at this point, Soto Garcia was seized. This was not, as the respondent describes it, the case in which the search, or for example, the frisk in Harrington, was necessary to the court's finding that the individual was seized. There is a difference if the test is, would a reasonable person feel free to leave? There is a difference between asking, may I see your identification, and asking, are you legal to be driving this car? Show me that you're not breaking the law. No reasonable person would feel free to decline to answer that question and put her foot on the accelerator and drive away. So Ms. Taylor was seized in this case. I'm not sure if the court is interested in argument on the dog search. The Ms. Taylor was arrested on a warrant. She was placed in the squad car. The police wanted to know what was in her truck, so they called in a dog team to set his sense of smell on that truck, and he alerted on the passenger side seam, indicating that drug smells were emanating from the truck. When the defense counsel was pursuing very briefly a question of whether this was a proper impound, the officer admitted this was a search incident to arrest of Ms. Taylor on a warrant. It was an illegal dog sniff search incident to arrest. Thank you.
Our next case this morning is State versus Harris.